Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, it's time for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tanguay Along for the Ride podcast. And we are sponsored by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score earlier this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, guys, let's get to the Celtics game last night. I did find myself in Philadelphia. I did have a chance to go to the game. And I will just tell you this, is that the Celtics lost that game. I mean, they made a late run. But, Bob, the only solace I take is the Celtics did not play well, and Jaylen Brown had an absolutely horrible game offensively, though he did do some other things. If Jaylen Brown has his normal night, the Celtics win that game by 10.
Yeah, you might say that. But, I mean, you can say that, and that's fine. It was kind of uninspiring game, frankly, in general terms, in both ways. Nothing special about it. Brown, once again, I point out that he's under scrutiny. And, of course, every game in which he does not play well, he's going to have to hear about it. And he's got to live with that. You know, as I said, his number isn't seven. It's 304,000,000,000, you know. And that's a reality. Had they pulled that off, had Porzingis gotten them into the overtime, it would be a fun thing to talk about, but it would have kind of masked the fact that they deserve to lose that game. That late run, notwithstanding, they deserve to lose that game. And from the time that they were up by 10 in the second quarter, from that point on, They were outplayed badly, frankly, after that. I'm not overreacting.
It's regular season. It's a regular season game.
If they were 7-0 as opposed to 5-2, we'd be
whatever.
But the my takeaway: don't sleep on Philly. That's all.
Well,
don't
thank
sleep
you.
On Philly.
Okay,
that's my takeaway. We've talked about Maxi. You guys know where I stand on Maxi.
Yeah, you're 25 last night.
In the fan club ever since Kentucky, and Embiid is no myth, they're going to be around. They're going to be heard from, and so good, nice good win for them.
Is it a 3-horse race, Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee?
I'm not putting Philly there yet. I'm not putting Philly in that yet. I want to see more still. From Philly. And I'm with you on Maxi. I am. I'm now in on Maxi. And it's funny because it's hard because I watch a lot of these kids when they're in college. And a lot of these Kentucky players really don't do a hell of a lot, like at Kentucky. And then they get to the pros and you're like, quickly, Maxi, yeah. Jamal Murray, like these dudes. Why hasn't John Calipari won more than one title? Well, they're young. They are young. I'll give them credit for getting a lot of these kids ready for the NBA.
They are asking that question in Lexington, as you know.
Yes.
As you well know.
Well, they're one and done, though, right? Most of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
hard.
Correct. You get them for 8 months. And again, I think he does prepare them for the NBA well. I do. I just don't think it's the way to win a national title these days is not to be young. Let's face it. But yeah, getting back to the Sixers, you know, to me, again, I think they're a half a step back still from Boston and Milwaukee.
Yeah, all I'm saying is don't sleep on them. That's all. And then, you know, we don't know how Miami's going to pan out a bit this year. And the thing we learned that, you know, that Butler is always revved up for the playoffs. So you know, we're not making any definitive conclusions here at all. So now there's an intriguing team so far. If there's one,
I think it is too. You know,
there is an intriguing team that we haven't mentioned yet. This is not the what's going on in Indiana, scoring wise. And I had another big scoring night last night, and it's funny because I don't associate Rick Carlisle with that at all.
Right. You wonder when he had to coach Luka if that changed a little bit and he realized, all right, you know what? I'm not sure I'm going to get these guys to really guard at the highest level anymore. We're going to have to outscore dudes.
Well, Jeff, is he still taping his ankles for every game? Does he still tape his ankles as a coach?
I don't know if he still does it.
University of Maine, Rick Carlisle, for 2 years. Yeah. University of Maine, before he bounced to Virginia.
Yep. I know, I love that. Yeah, I always loved the fact he was older. He was a 25-year-old rookie because he went to prep school after high school. He went to Worcester Academy. Then he went to Maine. Then he transferred, sat out a year. Then he had two more years at Virginia. He was 25-year-old rookie, you know. Anyway, he was uncommonly mature.
A couple of questions I have for last night's game. Drew Holiday struggled. There was a stretch where it's the ultimate second guess. You know, Embiid came out, he got hurt. I think he got hit in the eye. And the Celts could have made a run. It looked like they were going to run away with it. But then Joe puts in, oh my God, he hasn't played that much. The big guy. I can look at Cornette. Yeah, you know, and Holiday turns the ball over a couple times. Do you guys think Holiday, how do you think he's doing right now? Jeff, I'll start with you on this one.
He's solid, right? He's solid, but that's what Drew is. Like, Drew's not a guy that you're going to be like, oh my God, there's no flash with him. There's never been flash with Drew's game, right? He just does everything well, nothing. Well, I shouldn't say
but
nothing.
But is he there yet? We talked last week. Is he there yet?
It's been, seven games?
Yeah.
Hell no. No, he's not there yet. And it's probably going to take him another month. I mean, that's the beauty of this team in a way, right? Is, you know, two of their key pieces here, like, you didn't have last year. And Derek White's only been with him for a year. So I think you got my biggest concern right now with the Celtics ultimately is still – another big, because Al looks like he's run out of gas.
He looks old.
He looks old. He looks old.
Because he is.
And my take is, like, you need somebody else because you can't put all this on Porzingis.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so you got to find – Luke Kornet is evidently not the answer. They were talking him up in the preseason like he could be the answer for 15 minutes a game. Luke Kornet's not the answer. Not if you want to win a championship. Luke Kornet can't be your eighth man. So you got to find somebody else here with the picks that they have. Brad Stevens has to kind of feel this thing out, but do it early enough when you can get the chemistry and the continuity and everything with whoever you're going to bring in. I wouldn't want to wait till the absolute trade deadline. I'd love to do it a little bit earlier. But again, the hard part of that is, you know, it takes till the trade deadline for a lot of these teams to realize, all right, I'm going to mortgage whatever opportunities we have now, we're out. You know, we're out. But I think there's going to be 6 to 8 teams that are out of it, honestly, in 2 months that you could say to them, hey, at this point, picks, I don't know who else you move at this point, like who's got any value. They don't really have any guys. Their bench is just very underwhelming. Call it what it is. It's very, very underwhelming. I know Sam Hauser can make shots. I know you like Pritchard, Bob. I like Pritchard, too, for what he is. They need one more guy, a proven guy.
Well, they need what White gave them 2 years ago, you know, at least. No, you're right. And by the way, I will confess that I bought into Kornet last year at certain periods of time, I thought, hey, he's better than I thought. I thought they were kind of lucky to have him. So, but now we're finding out it's not, that was fool's gold. It's not, he's not.
The he's answer. Fine as your 12th man.
Like, he's, a, like he's an NBA like
12th man.
He's an NBA player. He belongs in the NBA roster. He should always have a job, but yes. You have to not ask him to do too much.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
No, that's all. But I have to admit, I'm not going to pretend I wasn't sold. I thought he was an answer last year. I was wrong.
What do you guys think of Nick Nurse? Because when I saw that he made the move to Philly and they fired Doc, I was like, okay, he became a great coach because he had, you know, Kawhi for a year. But now down in Philly, the buzz is they're buying into his offense a little bit. Plus, he doesn't have to deal with Harden. So, Bob, I mean, is Nurse going to be better than Doc?
Well, you know, I need to be recused on the subject of Doc, you know, because I'm a Doc guy all the way. And I don't hold him accountable for not winning in Philly and at all. And
neither
not,
do I.
And so, is he better than Doc? No. But is he an acceptable NBA coach that did? In fact, he does have a ring, and you can't take it away from him. And yeah, he had Kawhi Leonard, but I mean, you need more. He didn't hold them back. So he's fine. But I don't think it was a sideways move at best in terms of the quality of coaching that they're going to get as opposed to what Doc was.
I think Harden losing, you know, Harden is addition by subtraction too, Jeff. Right?
He certainly is now. He certainly is the way he was acting and playing. Listen, sometimes you just need a change.
Yeah.
And I think Philly needed a change. You know, at a certain point, it's like, all right, and what do? You know, generally you go with like an opposite, right? Like you go with Nick Nurse, a little bit tougher, a little bit more old school, came up through, I think, the JUCO ranks and the, you know, the G League and whatnot. So, little different than Doc. So I think it's easy to say it's working after 7-8 games. Like, come on. We got to give it some time here to see when they go through some adversity.
Yeah.
Then how do they react to Nick Nurse?
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action in NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads, you got your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame moneyline wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah.
Bob, the other game you watched, the Nuggets continue to chug right along. And it's crazy how a defending champion is flying under the radar.
You're exactly right. They're getting, it's the Rodney Dangerfield thing, you know, with them. And they're not getting the respect that they deserve so far. I was curious about the game because I was actually more curious to take a look at Golden State. In their current situation. I wasn't enthused about it. And I straight up watched the whole game. Curry, of course, had a class. It was Curry classic in that he only had three. He made no 2-point field goals last night. He made only six threes. They almost stole the game, but they didn't in the end. And they had a shot, and he had a shot. He had a chance for a tying basket was a left-handed drive, a little flip, and it wasn't the easiest shot in the world, believe me, and it didn't go in, and they lost the game. The you know who I had forgotten all about is Boston College's own Reggie Jackson, and where I didn't even realize where he was. He had 20 points last night. I've just looked him up. You know, he's had a very solid NBA career.
Made a lot of money, Bob. A lot of money.
He's a career 13 points a game guy. I didn't realize that was the case necessarily. Yeah. And anyway, Reggie Jackson was there. He had to start. Murray's out, and Jokic. Nothing changes. There's nothing that we haven't seen. It's exactly the Jokic that we've come to know and appreciate. And so that was it wasn't a fantastic game or anything, but I wanted to see it.
Do you think, after watching Golden State, are you in on them as contenders again to win this whole thing, or no?
Not really. Yeah. I don't think so. I would be, you're not going to get in the playoffs and say, oh goody, we're playing the Warriors kind of thing. But you don't have to be afraid of them either, I don't think. And
Chris Paul looks old. Chris Paul just looks.
Oh yes, he's 38. We talked about Al. These guys, they are. You can't. I know. The reason that they look old is that they are. And it's just seriously. He had an amazing game last week. When he had a 13 assist game and no turnovers. And that's what we've learned. If it's one thing we've learned in this league, at least, is that the great, truly great guys, as they age, they still will have certain throwback nights. They're going to have certain throwback. Mm-hmm. Larry, that was Larry's last year or two. Every once in a while, I remember he had a 46 point Sunday afternoon against Portland, I think. I remember I was at the Final Four. And I'm coming out of the afternoon session on Sunday, somebody goes, Larry had 46 today, and I said, really, I didn't. It's going to happen. They're going to have flashback games every night, and that's one of Chris Paul's flashback games.
And Wemby seemed to run into a bit of a speed bump. I mean, he slowed down.
He's 19. He's 19 years old. It's like his seventh game.
Okay, timeout.
I'm slowing the roll here.
I understand. Yeah. I got to get you in sports talk radio mode. I don't have anything else to ask you. I know a seven-day kid. Okay, this is what Felger used to say to me. He goes, look, today is today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're right. It's seven games in. But I think it's interesting to see him on the big stage. The Knicks are already up for him. And I guess probably the way I should ask the question is, he's not going to come in and sneak up on anybody. I mean, the veterans are probably saying, Jeff, Wemby, all right, kid, not tonight.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson, they kept asking him leading up to the game, his thoughts on Victor. And you could tell he was pissed. He was like, all right, let's go. Well, Mitchell Robinson's in his sixth year. He's turning 26 years old. He's played almost 300 NBA games. Wemby's played seven games. He's 19 years old. And, oh, by the way, he's got jack shit around him for the most part, too. He doesn't have a very good team around him. Where at least Mitchell Robinson, what does he have to do? There's zero pressure on him. Just defend. And again, Mitchell Robinson's 7 feet. He's not 6'8". So it's a pretty good matchup because Mitchell Robinson's bigger. He's stronger. I can't wait to see Victor when he's 22 years old and give him a little bit more around him. To me right now, he's going to be up and down this year. Again, largely because he's going to wear down, right? He's going to wear down. We know that. He's 19.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course.
And he's playing 82 games. He's never done this. I just hope the biggest thing, and I say this to everybody right now about Victor, that puts him on this pedestal of he's going to be the next great thing, right? Well, Michael Jordan and LeBron and all the all-time greats, their bodies held up for the most part, right? Almost all of them were able to play a long period of time without having serious injuries. I know Wemby's got this workout routine. And this routine to try to stay limber and stay in shape and his body. But I just worry about that body type. I worry about it.
Well, both he and Holmgren, it's the great question because we know this question. They have this phenomenal skill set, but it's asking a lot in that league to have that frame, and no question. By the way, a little clip I saw of Pop after the game. He was in his Belichick mode after the game, not entertaining the fools very gently, very last night, now at all. So,
all right. So wait. While you're on that. All right. This is a great question for Bob Gary, and you can weigh in too on this. Well, he's been doing it a lot longer than you.
I understand. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. We are not.
I understand.
Bob, of all the coaches, when you mentioned Belichick and you mentioned Popovich, who is the most miserable coach you've ever dealt with in any sport at any level? Who is the guy? I couldn't stand Belichick. I couldn't stand dealing with him. I just thought he's an asshole to the media. I don't think he's an asshole outside of that. I really don't. I think he actually has a personality. I've talked to enough people around him that say he's got an actual personality when he gets outside the media. But I just think he treats the media like shit, and there's no reason for it. Give me somebody who comes to mind in any sport at any level.
Wow, that's very interesting. I can't say. I can identify somebody that was that horrible, that I was aware of. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
But seriously. Here's the thing, is that the difference between what I think between Pop and Belichick, and maybe because I'm not on the Spurs beat, and if somebody is on the beat, maybe they would, differ. But Pop seems to be doing it tongue in cheek. Now, I didn't see him last night, okay? But he seems to be doing it tongue-in-cheek a little bit. Bill despises the media. I mean, he has no use for them. Now, Jeff is right. Belichick is, well, first of all, Bill Belichick is a brilliant man. I mean, he is a very smart man. And generally, if you're smart, the sense of humor comes. Now, if you're in the inner circle, he has a very biting, cutting sense of humor. Very smart sense of humor. But he just, I'll tell you this story. Even the guys that, everybody knows like Paulie Perillo and all those guys down there, Fred down at the PFW, the Patriot Football Weekly, which is now Patriots.com. That is the in-house media arm of the Patriots, which the Crafts were the first ones in the league to do it. Now everybody has one. Right. Bill cannot understand why a team would hire their own reporters. I mean, those guys have dealt with that constantly. I mean, they get the money from the same till. Right. And Bill has no use for them, right? I mean, he has no compassion and no understanding. So I think Pop, Pop is a little tongue-in-cheek and kind of gets him. I mean, Bill just, if Bill would say, if he never had to deal with the media again, he would be fine.
I got to disagree.
Oh, okay.
Disagree because There's the Bill Belichick on display early on game day and earlier in the week as a rule is very different than the Bill Belichick that you see when we get to Friday, and that Bill Belichick, when you don't have to ask him the questions he doesn't want to answer about the specifics of the moment, that Bill Belichick who knows more about football history than any coach who has ever coached in this league.
There's no question.
He's the greatest repository of football information that the NFL has ever known. And you get him in that, and you ask historical questions or reference questions and position questions. He's very good. My theory has been, and by the way, you mentioned, it's funny, when you sort of said about you thought Pop was tongue-in-cheek, I formulated this theory going back about 5 or 6 years ago that Bill walks off the podium and back into the coach's room after one of these sessions and goes, I did it again. I think he's done it. I believe it. I don't think he despises the media. I really don't. But I think he's having fun. This is the role he's playing. He plays different roles. That's the role.
I will say this about Bill, which, look, right now, it all comes down to the players. We all know that. But when they had great teams, the way he conducted and he would shut down information. I mean, Belichick, if you're a young coach and you want to look at somebody on how to avoid controversy, Belichick was terrific at it. I mean, really was. It's harder to do in the NBA, you know, but long as we're reminiscing, my favorite press conference ever, and I'm sure I think Bob may feel the same way, was Parcells. Because you could go into a Parcells press conference, you know, and I think Doc is the same way. Doc had that same ability. But you could go into a Parcells press conference like, okay, I'm going to question you about one of your players who, I don't know, is in deep trouble. And next thing you know, you're laughing. There was nobody better than disarming the media than Parcells.
Bill Parcells, I said, if someone had, from the day he took the job, kept track and recorded every single press conference, and by the end time he left, you would have had a fantastic book.
Oh my God.
You're right, because you didn't know where they were, anything was going to lead. You didn't know what metaphor and what analogy, what incident he was going to dread, you know, come up with, summon. Right. He was color. He was entertaining. They were absolutely entertaining, his press conference.
Is he the most quote? Like, who's the most quote? I'll flip it.
Yeah,
from the biggest asshole, which is basically what I was trying to ask.
Yeah,
you guys,
I know, but yeah.
To the most entertaining, to the one guy that you want to be in there for either a press conference or a one-on-one with for an hour. What coach would that be?
I'll tell you who's high on the list: Stan Van Gundy.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Stan Van Gundy was wonderful. Yeah. I thought for us, yes. he was unfiltered, and you. Yeah. He liked to have fun too, you know.
We had a lot in college basketball. The older guys, like Jim Calhoun, was phenomenal. Right. Now you didn't know what you were going to get. You had to be a little careful. Like I had my days where, honestly, afterwards he wouldn't talk to me for like a day. He would go after me, and then the next day he would forget and move on. Boeheim, Patino still.
Oh, Boeheim, some classic. Of that in him. Boeheim, hilarious.
It was awesome.
Hilarious.
Now, here's the best one, the best current college basketball coach, the most quotable, and I don't know how much time you spent around him, Bob. Danny Hurley at UConn is a quote machine.
Wow.
He is unbelievable. And now it's even going to be at a little bit of higher level now that he won the national title, but it was always that way. And he's quotable. His wife, Andrea, is even more quotable.
I'll tell you a guy that I'm sure, depending on who you talk to, would either get, we'd put at either of these two extremes, you know, and I was a friend of his from day one. And so, you know, I that's Hubie Brown. And there were a lot of people, you know, Hubie could be,
I don't
very
know
hard.
Hubie. Yeah.
Hubie
I never
could
knew
be him. Very hard on people. In Atlanta, he was notoriously hard on one of the writers. He just didn't respect them. He just thought that the guy didn't distinguish himself, that he was worthy of respect. But if he liked you, oh my God, you know. And I got to tell you, this is the classic Hubie. I am in. I'm. He's coaching the Kentucky Colonels, okay, at the time, they are playing an exhibition game in Cincinnati. And I am there, for whatever reason.
Of course you are.
Right, because you're you, Bob. That's why you were there.
After the game, this exhibition game, which I don't even know if they won or lost. I think I lost. There's a young kid from with a tape recorder, radio kid, local, asking him these serious questions about this exhibition game. And Hubie goes, wait a minute. He said, this is an exhibition game. He said, my owner, who is an asshole, it was John White Brown. My owner, who is an asshole, wants to win these games. I'm trying to get my team ready for the season. And I was, Hubie was priceless in many, many ways. Or the other one, you'll love this one. This is after a playoff game when he's with the Hawks. And Ray Williams, I was with the Knicks. And Ray Williams has had a score sheet game, which included like 9 turnovers, you know. And he goes, effing guy, he thinks it's the Rucker League.
I didn't realize Hubie was that good as a coach. Oh, I didn't realize he was that good. Really?
I learned a lot of basketball from Hubie Brown. I'm going to tell you something. He was one of my NBA mentors that I learned a lot from Hubie. Wow.
John Thompson. John Thompson was also good.
Big John.
Big John.
I had him.
John did not. He didn't love the meat. Like, how about, I'll give you a story. This was late after he retired. I wrote a story on John Thompson III and basically how it was time. You know, he had been lazy. Georgetown had started to really fall off. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a story, talked to about 30 people, former players, former coaches, that all kind of agreed that it was time, you know, that this program was going down, and wrote it. And then I saw Big John at the Big East tournament right after. And I wanted to go up to him and get his reaction. So I went through the sports information director, and Big John looked over at me, and you could just see, like, there was zero. I just wanted to do it because I felt like I needed to. I felt like I got to be accountable. You got to be there. And if you want to go off on me or give me your take on it, I'm here. He wanted no part. He was, you could tell, if he had been a little younger, he might have gotten up out of his chair and kicked my ass. Yeah.
No, he could be very intimidating, obviously. I mean, never forget the man was 6'10", weighing upwards of 3 bills. He was a trip. Now, some people, like, I know Wilbon loves him. Michael Wilbon loves him. Yeah. I know guys, you know, I didn't have much, you know, I had casual relationship. Yeah. With I.
And, well, and, who are and, who? Sorry to do this to you, Gary. Yeah, sure. I hope you don't.
It's good stuff.
Who's the most intimidating player or coach you've ever been around? I kind of said it last week. I think that Bob Knight was up there for me. Player wise, for me, I remember being in a clubhouse. It was actually a spring training game, and Frank Thomas came in after going 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Right,
and I'm waiting in his locker like an idiot. I don't know why I'm waiting in his locker. I should have known better, but I was young. He comes over. And he takes his hand and he punches that locker as hard as he could. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. Yeah. There's no way I'm dealing with Frank Thomas now.
Well, clearly the most intimidating guy, and I'm sure I'm hardly alone, he would win the prize, was Albert Bell. And what Albert Bell did to ruin a clubhouse was extraordinary. And those good Indian teams, those wonderful teams that didn't, unfortunately, never won damn thing, even though that they had that great lineup. Yeah. The locker room was poisoned because of him. And that's with a very affable coach, manager too.
How about this, Bob? Bell. I went to school at University of Arizona. They had spring training at High Corbett Field right down the street in Tucson. I used to ride my, I had a credential. I used to ride my bike over there every day and go to spring training. And at that time, you didn't know those guys. They were all young. Jim Tomey, Roberto Alomar, Albert, Joey Bell. I mean, it was Kenny Lofton. Like, that was a young team that you had no idea when you were going over there. And actually, one of the most intimidating people, maybe more intimidating at that point for me, to meet, was Bob Feller.
Bob Feller
was there as like a pitching instructor or a special instructor. Man, was he intimidating.
He was a notorious curmudgeon.
Yeah.
That was a word. Oh, yeah. He was not affable, to say the least. No, he was very, very – I learned that one. By the way, you mentioned Arizona. Bell's lieutenant, if you were, you know, was Lofton. He was no day at the beach either.
No, he wasn't. He was an Arizona guy too, and yeah, he was tough to deal with. Gary, who comes to mind? Who was intimidating? Who, I mean, you've been around enough over the years. Was there somebody?
Now, I was never really intimidated. I knew that when Pitino was going through a tough time. You know, I was working at Channel 4, and we were running the Rick Pitino show. Yeah. You know, so we were kind of, you know, remember, you know, the great character Jersey Red, you know, was the producer of the Rookie of the Year.
He was the producer?
Yeah, he was the producer. And I asked some questions that they didn't like, you know, and I got the desk there because we were supposed to be kind of in bed with them. And I think Lobel got a call about that. But never really not... I don't really remember any of it. I mean, I just knew when I would go to a Belichick press conference, I gave up. I mean, I would be like, this is a waste of time. I know some guys had to ask questions, but I would just go, he's not going to answer it. You know, I don't have time for this. I'm going to go deal with the players, you know, to be quite honest with you. But I had a pretty good run. I don't really have one of those. Plus, you know, also, though, not that anybody cares, for a big part of my career, I was a pregame show host.
Right. Right.
I wouldn't exactly call us journalists, you know.
Oh, you were different. You weren't going in, right? You weren't asking the really tough questions in a locker room after a game.
No,
right? No,
mine was, what's your favorite color?
Right, right.
No, you know, I wasn't like Bob or like you guys or Shaughnessy for that matter. Like, you know, Dan would always show up. You know, I never, like, when we would do it, like, my God, remember we were down in Fort Myers. We used to have the entire Red Sox team come over and do the 6 o'clock show with us on the beach. We'd give them dinner, slap on the back. I mean, I remember one time Bronson Arroyo, he showed up in a limo that we got from with a mirror ball in the limo with some gas. I'll just leave it at that, of the opposite sex. Hey, Bronson, what's up? Hey, fellas. You know, it was a different time. The only time I ran into it is when I asked Brady. I was working with Callahan and those guys, and I asked Brady about the cheating. He wasn't too happy about that. You know, I just came right out, you know, and he was, I asked him about the, you know, the Deflategate and all that. And that was he was kind of surprised too. I asked it. So my career did not mirror the two gentlemen I'm talking with.
What if there was an app that used AI and machine learning to suggest smart sports bets? Well, there is. It's called Odds Are. It's the mobile app you need to know what bets of the day are the smart ones. Download the app, sign up for an account, and let the latest data analysis guide you through today's point spreads, money lines, and over-unders. If you see green, that's a smart bet. If you see yellow, you're on your own. If you see red, don't do it. Odds Are, it doesn't take your bet. It makes you better at it. With Odds Are on your mobile phone, you're a tap away from making a smart play. It's smart betting made simple. Find the Odds Are app in the App Store or on Google Play. Get a 2-week free trial. It's just $10 a month after that. The casinos and sportbooks want you to bet. Odds Are want you to win. So go get it. The Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast listeners actually have a special deal too. Get your first 30 days of the app free. Just go to oddsare.com/BobJeff to download the app. That's oddsare.com/BobJeff. 30 days of smart betting, free. We'd call that a winning bet.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But, Jeff, before we go, you have a commentary on college basketball.
Well, I want to get Bob's take because Bob's a huge college hoops fan. And college basketball started Monday. And my guess is, Gary, you have no idea college basketball even started Monday because
barely.
There's been shitty games. Like, every night has been pretty much a shitty night. You'll have, like, Tuesday, there was one good game. Auburn played Baylor in Sioux Falls. Friday night is going to be loaded. I'm going to be at Arizona at Duke. There's some really good games Friday night. Texas A&M plays Ohio State. It's good, finally. But the first four nights are garbage, absolute garbage. And it's because the coaches don't want to play anybody that early, Bob. They used to have the Champions Classic. Well, they moved it back because of voting day. And now I think Calipari and maybe one other of the coaches are like, we'd rather have it the second week than the first week. But that leaves a major void. My idea, and I've talked to a bunch of coaches about this, my idea is to get whatever, 8, 12, 16 teams together, sign a two-year deal, and it's not necessarily the Dukes and the Kentuckys. It could be the Arkansas's, the Alabama's, the Purdue's, some of those teams that have coaches that have job security, two-year deal, and there's 8 games over those first 4 days on different networks. It might be ESPN, because you're not going to play on ESPN Monday night because of Monday Night Football. Play it at FS1 or Turner or whatever. Tuesday night, you play 2 games on ESPN. Wednesday night, they have NBA on ESPN. Maybe play 1 game on the Deuce, 1 game on FS1. Whatever it is, sign up for a two-year deal with these second-tier but really good programs and coaches that have job security so that the sport comes out with a bang, not a whimper.
On these lines, I call your attention to the X that I put out there for the world to see the day after that opening night, in which I annotated about a dozen final scores without mentioning who had played who. Just said, here's your opening night, and, you know, ridiculous scores. Yes. The highlight of which was, and I did, it was St. Mary's 107, Stanislaus State 28.
Jeez.
I'll repeat that. 107 to 28, folks. There were at least
St. Mary's is a top 25 team. It's not like St. Mary's is a really good team. I'm picking to go to the Final Four this year.
That's what I'm saying.
Randy Bennett, come on.
Well, so they, you know, you're right. Now, this has been, I look, 50 years ago when I'm at BC, you know, you weren't opening up, but you wanted a game you were going to win. But somehow, you know, it's gotten out of hand. I mean, obviously, you're right. I'm paying attention, okay, because I do care, and I'm trying. And here's the thing, though, about college basketball, that because of the turmoil we're in, you don't know who's with who. You don't know who transferred to where. You need a complete refresher. You know, I know, and you it's really hard to keep. I just
really
finally,
hard.
I
really.
I did yesterday. Bought myself. I was coming back from my trip to North Carolina, and I bought myself the college basketball magazine, so I could, you know, which
those things are so outdated. We do one at the Almanac. It's a website now that we put together. Yeah, I'll give you the login and.
Oh yeah, I know. It was great. I do need that. And, you know, they did make a disclaimer in the magazine to say, if any transaction happened after August 24, we won't have it.
Right.
And I noted that there's at least one. Anyway, now I'll tell you that the transfer situation that bothers me, that this is wrong. Hunter Dickinson going from Michigan to Kansas is.
It is what it is now. Hey, it's not the world that you grew up in. It's not the world I grew up in.
And how about Bill Self getting this new humongous contract? And they're not out of the woods yet with
potential. They are. They're out. No,
they're out.
Yeah,
they are.
He got nothing. They got nothing. Boy, nothing.
They're like, no. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. I stand corrected then.
Nobody got anything out of all those schools, Bob, that were hit in the federal investigation. Obviously, kind of Rick Pitino lost his job, but based on not just that, but based on the accumulation of things.
Yeah.
Sean Miller lost his job at Arizona. Will Wade lost his job at LSU. But the penalties themselves, the only team that got hit hard, believe it or not, was Oklahoma State. They got a postseason ban. Mm-hmm. Everybody else got off with nothing of note. Maybe a suspension, you know, self-imposed here or there, but for the most part, Oklahoma State was the only one that got hit, and it's because they didn't go through this process, new process that was called the IARP process, and now that thing's gone. So Oklahoma State got screwed in the whole deal anyway, just to clarify on that with Kansas.
All right, gentlemen, as we close things out, I will say I did call Tony Allen and Marcus Smart overrated on the pregame show. Neither gentleman appreciated it. I'll leave you at that.
I called Ted Washington an asshole.
Wow.
Buffalo. Ted Washington an asshole.
Tell that story.
So.
And by the way, in case Ted Washington was like 375 pounds, nose tackle.
Here was the deal with Ted Washington. And this was, again, in Buffalo before he got to the Patriots. Anytime a reporter would go over to Ted Washington, and I was with the Associated Press at the time, young, he would give him this big song and dance. You know, oh, geez, why would you be able to? Like, it was just this big charade. And I never needed Ted because, again, he's a nose tackle. I'm with the Associated Press. He's not a part of my stories ever. Well, finally, it's like, you know, I've been there like, you know, 2 months. And his locker is next to one of the nicest people on the planet, Marcellus Wiley's. And I decide, you know what? I'm going to try it. I've been here a couple months. I'm going to try it. I don't even need him, but I'm like, I'm going to try it. Let's see what his reaction is. So I go over, hey, Ted, you got a minute? Ah, blah, 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 gee, blah, blah, I can't believe you. I don't have time for this, blah, blah. So I look right at Marcellus and I go, why is he such an asshole? And so the next day, the defensive line has to come through the media room to get to their film room. Okay. So the media room is kind of out in a main area and they got to go to their film room right by the media room. So I know, I'm like, oh shit, what's going to happen? Now, Bruce Smith likes me at this point. Bruce Smith knows he can play me. I'm a young kid breaking in. So he knows he's got me. Okay. And he was going through some injury stuff. So we had actually had a pretty good relationship in the short time I was there. So Ted goes through the media room and comes right up to me, right up in my face. And he's pointing, he's in my face. And he goes, the PR guy was a guy named Scott Berchtold at the time. And he's like, he called me an asshole. And he's literally in my face. And I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to die. Like, Ted could kill me. And luckily, Bruce Smith kind of stepped in and calmed him down. And that was it. But man, yeah. I said to him, I go, Bruce, I didn't call you an ass. I said you were an asshole. I tried to clarify it a little bit.
Oh yeah,
but he didn't care. That's he did not care at all.
No. It's
yeah. It was past tense. You're a nice guy today. You were an asshole yesterday.
That's right.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Good stuff as always. We'll talk to you again. We'll check in again next week. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, I'm Gary Tagway, along for the ride with the Ryan Goodman podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, the official wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Gentlemen, talk soon.
Okay.